remember other kinds of activities that came out that the company arranged or encouraged that you would become involved in?
Well, at lunch hours, very often they had had people come entertain.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time they had Major Bong come talk to us. And but I don't remember who the people were, but once in a while there'd be, I guess they were show people, come
mm-hmm.
Sing at lunchtime. And then, of course, they had a Lockheed... they had a Lockheed chorus, this LERC, Lockheed Employees Recreation Club. They tried to organize a lot of things, but some of the things they tried to organize I wasn't too interested in. Besides, I had lived out here a while.
Mm-hmm.
See, many of these people were new, but I already had quite a few friends in Pasadena that didn't work at
mm-hmm.
Lockheed or anything. And, of course, my sister was married and living out here. And while I worked swing, her husband was, he was working days, and I remember I used to go out and take her and the children to the grocery store
yeah.
or take her to the doctor when she was pregnant again and that kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
How did it affect your social life with your other friends, in fact, working swing?
Well, I did drop a lot of them. I mean, it was just not purposely,
mm-hmm.
but yes, some of the people that I had seen quite a bit, I didn't see anymore.
Mm. So did this group connected to the church become less important to you then during this period?
I still went to that, but by then it began to go down because so many of the fellows had gone into the service. But it did last for a while, but it seemed like it kind of just disappeared. I can't remember exactly when it did kind of go down, but by then several of them had gotten married. Many of the fellows were in the service,
mm.
and I can't remember just why she quit having us come, but I think it was mostly lack of interest.
Mm. So at that point, more of your friends then would come from work?
Quite a few, yes, and then I had I had started going to church out where my sister went to church in Monrovia, and I met some people out there. But about this time, not when I first went to Lockheed, but when I'd only been there about a year, I began to realize that I could go to school out at Pasadena City College. And so I started going to school in the mornings, and I started
mm-hmm.
taking typing. I wanted to learn to type so I could get into one of the office jobs.
So you did not really want to stay in production?
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't want to wear slacks and carry a lunch pail all the rest of my life. I don't know. I didn't want to stay out there, but I did want to stay at Lockheed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let me ask you, that reminded me, it occurred to me before about the tools. When you were initially in the tubing department, what sort of tools would you have needed?
I didn't need very many, but it seemed to me we had that, I think I got my toolbox there, and they had us, we got a roll of wrenches in case you would need them. I thought I got my, and we got T-squares. But
mm-hmm.
now, actually, I think I bought most of my tools after I got in experimental,
mm.
because that's where I used them. But I'm sure I had a toolbox over in the, I think they had a lot of us get toolboxes, and at least that was a place to put something.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a lock on it, of course.
Now, would you carry that with you to and from work?
Oh, no, it was left there.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you had it locked, you didn't need to worry about
mm-hmm.
anybody. Because, you see, they had pretty tight security.
Mm-hmm.
In order to take a toolbox out, you had to get a permit from, what in the world did they call it? Anyway, you had to get a special
mm-hmm.
permit, and you had to go to the department office, or somebody came. Somebody would come in, look over all your tools, and seal your toolbox. And you had to take
uh-huh.
it out all sealed, a certain seal, and then there was a little, they didn't call it a permit. What in the world did they call it? But it had to
be clearance.
Yeah, it had to be signed, I think, with the foreman or the supervisor. I'm not so sure, but it wasn't the foreman, although he didn't look at your toolbox. It was one of those things. Yeah. Oh, no, you didn't need to worry about your toolbox being stacked.
Now, where would you leave it then?
I think we had them stacked under that big workbench.
Mm-hmm. Now, in talking about the issue of clearance, were you aware and were you made aware of the whole issue of sabotage and security?
Oh, yes. We were not supposed to, they kept telling us not to talk about things. But, of course, where I was, I had my clearance. Now, that's another thing we had to give when we hired in. We had to give some people that had known us for so long, and somebody said they didn't check on those, but they did check on one of mine. I don't think they checked on all three of them, but they checked them. And you had to write down where you had worked previously, oh yes, it was quite a bit of security when you hired in. But where I worked for a long time, I didn't work on anything that was secret at all.
Now, what when you were in this brake department before you went to electrical, is that the time that you started at Pasadena City College?
No, it was just after I got out. It was after I was out in electrical.
Uh-huh. Now, what was your daily life? How did you organize your life in terms of your work schedule, transportation, shopping, rationing?
Oh, well, yes, if you'd hear that a store had meat, why, you'd go stand in line to get that, although I was never bothered too much with that. See, one person, it wasn't very difficult, and I used to go out and take my sister shopping. And, of course, if you'd been someplace the night before or worked all day, you still had to get in quite a bit of sleep, so you didn't get up very early. Mm-hmm. And by the time you get lunch and, I'd catch that bus down on Colorado Street, which was the main drag in Pasadena. And it was fun to look around the stores. You spent quite a bit of time looking in the stores. What was new. I've always enjoyed shopping. You're looking.
And you still kept your apartment by yourself?
Oh,
you didn't share it?
No,
point.
I did not. Mm-hmm. No, as a matter of fact, I don't think I ever shared an apartment after that. A girl wanted, I did for a while, this girl wanted to live with me. She said she was separating from her husband. Well, I found out later, they told me that while I worked swing, that he came over every night after I went to work. And then finally she went back to her husband.
Mm. Now, is this someone who was in your department?
No, this was a woman I had known, a girl I had known back in Iowa.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, let's see, her brother and my brother were married to sisters, so it wasn't exactly a family connection, mm-hmm. but it was a very close mm-hmm. friendship, and so I let her live with me. No, after that time that I moved out after the four of us had lived together, I was pretty particular. I don't think I ever had a roommate after that, but I'll tell you about a friendship I did strike up that almost worked out to be a roommate. That was after I went out to electrical, so maybe you're not ready for that.
Okay, let me just ask you a few more things before we move into the electrical. It sounds like the work in the experimental was physically much more demanding.
Yes.
What did that mean for you in terms of your day and how tired you were?
Oh, I don't remember. It seemed to me we were on our feet quite a bit, and I guess I was more tired, but I don't know. When you're young, you don't notice it so much. And we always had that long ride home from Burbank to Pasadena. So, and I read quite a bit then, too. I was about to say I was always one to read, but I haven't been doing much reading recently, but at that time I did. No, I quit reading once I bought a home and had yard responsibilities.
Now, in the experimental department, you say that the women were, on the whole, somewhat more educated because they did obviously have to do some mathematical calculations.
Yeah, the template section was in there.
Uh-huh.
The template section was in there where they made templates. It seemed like, and I don't want to be too critical of those other people, but it did seem like most of the women in experimental were better educated.
Now, were you actually doing spot welding yourself?
No, no, they wouldn't. I don't think I could have run that spot weld machine because by the time you, I don't think I was tall enough to put my foot on the lever and hold the part. No, I laid out spot welds and held the parts for them. And then actually there'd be times we'd be quite busy, and then there'd be times that there wouldn't be much spot welding to do. And they'd go bring in burring. There was always plenty of burring. And we'd do this filing. We'd put it in a vise, and we'd have to file off the burrs. So I remember I did a lot of burring experimental.
It sounds like in that department did require more mechanical skills than
earlier. It was experimental. You see, over in that other department, everything was laid out for you. But in experimental, we were we didn't realize. Oh, I didn't realize it too much at the time. But we were making parts for prototype airplanes quite a bit of the time. And then there was finally they walled off a part and had this big XP-58 right there in experimental.
Oh.
But it was they had it walled up, and you had to have you didn't go in there unless you. I think there was a guard at the door, and only people. They had a list of who was to go in and who wasn't. We were working on parts for prototype airplanes.
Now, you say you enjoyed the work in that department more than your first job.
Yeah.
In what ways?
Well, I don't know. It was a little it was a little more interesting, and the people were more interesting, and of course I guess I was getting more used to Lockheed.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then because of the back injury, you switched over. Oh, at that point, with your back injury, anywhere in there, did you have occasion to see any of the counselors over that?
I don't think I saw a counselor. I remember going to medical. But, no, see, a lot of those, they had those counselors for people that had personal problems.
Mm.
And, you know, when the war was over, those counselors were... They come around, they would have been glad to take almost any job. Yeah, they did. I remember, because at the time I thought, oh boy, wouldn't that be a nice job to have, you know. And here was another thing. The clerks, the girl that worked for the foreman, or, you know, there'd be women come down there. And at that time, if you didn't work in the shop, those women that worked in the offices, they wore dresses. And, you know, they could really dress up and look nice, and they didn't have to wear snoods or anything like that. And here was this counselor, and that seemed to be a pretty good job. But never forget when the war was over. And, no, I don't recall that I ever went to the counselor because I didn't have any, oh, I don't know. I never was one. I usually solve my own problems. I never was one to tell all my troubles to some stranger or something. I just never was. Maybe I would have been better off sometimes if I had, but I usually figured out a way out. Oh, I don't mean that different people didn't help me or I didn't tell people. But this business of going in and telling all your personal problems to somebody you didn't know, I didn't go for that.
Well, I think it was probably the women who had children and family responsibilities.
Yes, and were having troubles with their husbands because maybe he worked a different shift than they did and that kind of thing, yes.
Was there talk, because you mentioned before this couple that had divorced, was there a lot of talk about the women playing around with the men who were there.
Yes. And there was quite a bit of that going on. But of course, I didn't go out with married men. I dated some, but actually there weren't an awful lot of single men left out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was when I first went there. And then so many of them, well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, there was quite
mm-hmm.
a bit of that. And, of course, that always made gossip.
Mm-hmm. But you did date some men who were working.
Yes, some, but not a lot, because there just weren't that many.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like most of them that were there were married.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you go to the USO or any of those kinds of dances?
No, but I'll tell you what we did do. Now, this was when the war first started. This lady that had this club, a Bible study club, thought we should do something for the USO. And, of course, because Frida had a car and lived in Pasadena, and they had a nice USO in Pasadena, one other girl and I, she never sent me alone, we'd go to the USO and see it was a club coupe. So I could pick up about four of those. And we took them out to that. And while I didn't go to any USO dances, we did help some. And I can remember this girlfriend that really got me to go to Lockheed. She and three other girls rented a nice house over in the Hollywood Hills, and because they were on a different shift. Besides, I lived in Pasadena. I didn't want to move in with them. Occasionally they had some parties and called the USO and we did bring the fellas up there, and all they liked seemed to me like we played cards
mm-hmm.
and phonograph, and I remember, and I remember one time, I guess we hadn't really planned to, we were over there for dinner, and of course this one girl was a wonderful cook. She said, you know, with all this ham, we ought to really have some of the boys from the USO up. So we called, and I think she went down and brought some of them up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also remember one time this girlfriend of mine, whose husband was in, he was a prisoner of war. He'd been in the Philippines when that was. A fella she knew, a friend, she'd been a friend of his mother's, sort of friend of the family, like, he was stationed out of Indio. And he, anyway, they said that was such a godforsaken place. And she was telling me how nice it was. And I remember one time that three of us girls, we pooled our gas coupons, and we went out there, and I had thought when we went out, you know, we'd probably stay around on the base. Since there were three of us coming, he rounded up two other fellas. But instead of that, he said, oh, let's go to Palm Springs. There's nothing here. Well, we didn't know. We mentioned that, you know, we might not have enough gas. I don't know whether I should tell you this or not.
That's all
good. Not the gas. But anyway, we went to Palm Springs, and we girls were left. He knew this fella, and we were left there at this, they had a nice home, with this woman, with his wife, and the fellas all went off someplace, and when they came back, the car was full of gas. I still don't know. And we started asking questions. They said, oh, don't ask them any questions. I know they didn't steal it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't steal it, but they evidently knew how to get it in a way that that evidently was not legal. But I do know that they didn't steal it. So then, of course, they had to be back at the base at a certain time. We fooled around Palm Springs. I think we went up in the canyon. I don't know what all. Those fellas were just so delighted to get off the base and have a car to drive around. And they were nice fellas. We had a good time that day. And then we had just got them back to the base and were driving through Indio to come home when there was a blackout. So we didn't know how long we'd be, delayed there, but I forgot, it didn't last awfully long. It probably lasted about an hour, and then we go home. Mm-hmm. So we did do some entertaining, but I never was a good dancer, and partly because I was short and the fellas were always tall, and so I didn't help with any of the U.S. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to the USO dancers, mm-hmm. but I did help entertain fellas.
And it was not frowned upon, for instance, this house full of young women who would entertain the soldiers who basically were strangers.
Well, evidently not, because I think, though, when she called, the woman at the USO kind of knew how to screen the fellas, and none of them got out of line. Mm-hmm. And several of them just said, well, it's just so nice to be in a nice home for a while, because would you like a drink of water or a drink of something? I can get you.
Well, I was asking about the relationship to servicemen and the USO. Did you date servicemen on other occasions? Or was it?
Not very much. A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit, not very much. Because, you see, I was working swing, and then to some extent, yes, but not an awful lot.
Now, how was the transfer down to the electrical arranged? Was that arranged through the medical department?
Well, the department I know now that that lead man just decided that I was too small for that place, and it was all the same department. So I don't recall that. I don't think I even had my badge changed or anything.
Oh.
It was all just another little section of that department, and I think they just told me to go down there, and I believe that was building one. What in the world building was it? I used to know the numbers of all those buildings. I just went down there, and then this friend that had been up in the other building and had been moved was down there, so she was the friend that that we went out to India with to see the to see the soldiers. So I liked it better in electrical.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you transferred to electrical, this was how large was that group under the one lead man?
I suppose this was in a huge hangar, and we were over in one end, and there was tubing over there. Now, that, of course, was experimental tubing. And I do remember that one day they evidently had a lot of tubes that had to get out. So they brought some of them over for us electrical people to do them. Well, of course, I didn't tell them that I had taped tubes before. And so I guess I must have done a pretty good job, because one of the fellows said to me, he said, "You sure caught on to this fast." Because I guess I turned out more, because those other girls hadn't taped tubes before.
Now, what happened is you moved from the first department in tubing, then into experimental, and then to electrical. Was your job classification or title changed each time?
The job classification, yes, because I had been... let's see, I was a tubing detail assembler, I think. And then I was classified as a sheet metal worker. But now to work in spot weld, that didn't mean any change. And then when I went to electrical, I became an electrical assembler.
And now was each of these different pay level?
Well, they were enough the same that I didn't get a raise for going into them. But when the next review period came around, I'm sure I got to whatever. I think they were all pretty much the same. I didn't know that much about it then. You know, when you was new there, I got my raise whenever, we get them every 3 months or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose some of them got bigger raises than I did, but I was there a while before I caught on to that. I was happy, you know. Seemed to me like I was doing pretty well.
Do you recall how much rent you were paying?
Ooh, no, but I'll bet I could look it up. And but it's in those. I'll try to.
Okay.
I'll try to find that out. I know it wasn't very much.
What would be your average take-home pay around that time, say, when you first go into the electrical?
It seemed to me like, oh, by electrical, I don't know, because I must have been making about 75 cents an hour then. I think I had gotten up to about 75, and let's see, we worked 48 hours and got time and a half on Saturday, so... let's see, 8 times 50 is about 40, and of course it would be a little more than that because of the, it was 48 hours, but it worked out to 40 to 52 hours because of the time and a half. So I was making a little over 40 a week, and of course they weren't taking out quite so much. I suppose I was taking home around 35. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, I think I can look up some of those old checks. I think I can.
Because actually, this is before withholding was instituted, because that was sometime in 43 that...
Yeah, at first they didn't, but they took out Social Security, and it seems to me they took out state unemployment then. I believe they did. They didn't take home out nearly as much then. Let's see, and then we signed up for Buck of the Month Club. I think I signed up for that pretty soon after I went there. That was for charity. See, they didn't want all these charities coming in and going around to us. So we had this Buck of the Month Club, they called it. Yeah, it must have been 25 cents a week because they recommend you give a dollar a month. Of course, we got paid on a weekly basis.
And how about bonds?
Oh, yes, I signed up for those right away. They wanted us to buy bonds. I think I took the minimum that was 3 cents. No, I didn't take the minimum. I guess you could take as little as 75 a week, but I had it figured out at 375 I'd get a bond every 5 weeks. And
It's $18 bond.
Yes, I think I'm not so sure whether they had us sign up for bonds when we hired in or soon after, I know. I think they had I think it was soon after. I don't think they had a sign up for bonds. But I think they did give us a little pamphlet telling about it. And that Buck of the Month, they recommended that you sign up for that. I think I signed up for that soon after. And I also started credit union deduction soon after. It looked to me like that was a good way to save. I think I had $5 a week taken out of it and put in the credit union.
So you probably transferred into electrical in about a year after you had started?
I think so. I think so. It was probably along in April or, maybe it was about that. I mean, that's close enough.
Okay. Should we stop at that point then?
If the